Good evening, everyone. And as we are approaching our brand new 2023, I'm so thankful that you're with me right now, because this is a very special episode. And any of you who have been following the Real Conversations journey know that the guests that we've had on the show have been dear friends of mine, but also have lent us some, you know, good ideas to follow and maybe even take into our next year as we're growing and going as human beings. As I always do, I want to go ahead and give my intro because, hey guys, you are listening or watching right now Real Conversations with Jacob Young, sponsored by Boys Town. Boys Town has been saving children. They've been healing families for over 100 years. Over 100 years. That's a lot of dedication. It's a lot of time and a lot of hearts that have changed. Real Conversations is also sponsored by Lane Frost Brand, one of my favorite hats, my favorite hoodies, made for the champion in you. Go to lanefrostbrand.com to receive 15% off of anything and everything Lane Frost Brand. All you got to do is use Jacob15 and you're saving. Again, welcome to a very brand new live special edition of Real Conversations with Jacob Young. It's hard to believe, guys, that we launched this podcast with Boys Town 2 years ago. 2 years ago. That's almost 100 episodes. Thanks to all of you. Thank you for taking this journey with me. Now, the holiday season, guys, can be the best of times for many of us. And it can be some of the most challenging times for a lot of us, especially for our mental health. This is the season that Boys Town's hotline, Your Life, Your Voice, can be the busiest, helping parents and teens, again, literally saving lives. I'm live today so that with your help, we can reach some of our goals and continue the good work that they do. But this episode, which is kind of like turning it on its head. By the way, I have to give a good shout out to my good friend, Kim Kelly in New York, and Mark Rosano, who I know I'm pretty sure are tuning in right now. Love them. Have been a great inspiration to my career and have been a massive positive influence in most and many artistic lives. So guys, hello. Now, I've been lucky enough to interview TV icons, sports figures, music legends, the Supremes, Mary Wilson, who made her very last podcast appearance on this show. Mary Wilson. On my year-end live podcast, you know, I thought that it would be a fun interview myself. I get hundreds. On this episode, I thought it'd be fun to go ahead and let you guys know some of the questions that have been asked of me over the last 2 years. Instead of interviewing somebody else, interview me. And so I open questions, comments. I see some people that have already joined me. Tim Hayden is here. Happy New Year, he says. I want to hear from you, but I've also been logging many of you guys' questions over the years, and I'm going to answer some of those hard questions that I haven't answered or had the opportunity to answer either live or in any of my podcasts because I've been too busy interviewing others. So one of the big questions that pops up, and guys, feel free. I'm looking at my banners right now. I'm looking at comments or anything you want to throw in here. Please, Roxanne says hello. Feel free to drop any of your questions and or comments while we're doing this podcast, this very special year in review podcast, because there's been so many great episodes and so many great people. But again, nobody's ever asked me some of these questions. And some people don't know really what Boys Town is. So one of the biggest questions that it came to me and what was received was, why is it called Boys Town? Are there girls too? Well, that's a great question. See, back in the very beginning of Boys Town, we were dealing with the turn of the century, also the Great Depression, and it was very, very common for young men, I mean, as young as 6, 7, 8 years old, to be sent out to the world because their parents could no longer take care of them, especially in the Midwest. This was a very common practice. They would not dare send their daughters out. I mean, I couldn't imagine sending my 2 daughters out into the world at that age. So why was it called Boys Town and not Girls Town or either or? Well, guess what? That has been something that's been in huge consideration for a very long time. But when the turn of the century was happening and during the Great Depression, it was boys that were victims of being sent out as young as 6, 7, 8 years old to fend for themselves in the Midwest during the Great Depression. So Father Flanagan saw the need to bring these kids that were actually pretty much ragtag militia running around robbing, stealing, drinking, smoking. It was a difficult time. So that's why he decided to help out boys. Now, there was a lot of men that were in strife, but he also realized that men had a hard time reforming. But he always said there was no such thing as a bad boy, only bad parenting. And he kept giving back. Well, lo and behold, here we are. And now we flash forward, and even the 70s, 80s, girls are equally as important in this world and have always been. And there had been more neglect happening over the years. So it was only made sense that girls incorporated. Well, they realized that too. And at one point they said, well, we should just call it Boys and Girls Town. Sounds like a good name. But what happened with, you know, people who were donating to Boys Town got confused with the Boys and Girls Club. So the Boys and Girls Club suddenly was, you know, getting more donations, and this, it was taking away from what all the good works for almost 100 years that was happening. So with that being said, they decided to go back to the original name, Boys Town. But do girls live there? Oh, yeah. I mean, they have the most beautiful homes and the best sanctuaries for these children that I've ever seen. Most loving parents guiding them. So why is it called Boys Town? Are there girls too? Question number 2, and guys, you know, again, let me take a look at the comments here, so because we're live. Hello from New York. Hey, Ty, what's up? Sandy says, good night, Mr. Young. Well, good night, Sandy. I hope you stay with us a little bit longer. Number 2, I get asked all the time how I first got involved with Boys Town. That's a great question. So it's actually pretty interesting. The beginning of social media, there was a few things that were coming out. Hey, Tavia is here with us tonight. Hello from Bayside, New York. And there was something that struck my eye. It was a social media opportunity. And like, okay, it was brand new to me. But it caught my eye because it was helping children. And I saw it and it said it was a praise box. Praise box. Well, what is a praise box? Well, we know from churches that you can give donations at, you know, at praise location, like box locations. But I didn't know what they meant. And it said, hey, instead of, you know, as we do as parents telling our children, hey, you didn't pick up after yourself. You didn't brush your teeth. You didn't do this. You didn't do that. This particular opportunity was a way for me to help raise awareness to make sure that our children had the opportunity to be praised for the good things that they did. And my heart fluttered. I thought, wow, that's a beautiful thing. Why didn't I ever think of that? Because all I can think of is all the things that I say, don't do this, don't do that. And so I said, yeah, I want to learn more about your guys' company. I want to learn more about your group. So they sent me this little tiny paper box that I could fold into four little sections and hang on my son's door. And instead of saying, you didn't make your bed, you didn't do this, you didn't do that, don't talk back to your mom, I got this box where I secretly hid on his door, and I could say things that he did well. And he could open that box when he went to his room, and he could hear about all the good things that I saw that day. And my mind was blown, completely blown. So to answer the question, that's how I became involved with Boys Town. Because it's simple things like that, just a little bit of love, a little bit of praise that can make a huge difference in anybody's lives. My life. Another question that has come in was, what is it like at Boys Town when I visited? And it's a big question because it's so many things to answer. And if I go on and on, which I'm going to for a second, stay with me. I'm here with you. Hello from Texas, Louie, Marie, Tommy, Bonnie. You guys, hang in there with me. Because, you know, if you feel like you want to, you know, hit me with a question, I'm going to be right here with you too. So stay with me this entire time, or as long as you can. I know we're getting on to the new year, and I'm blessing, you know, with my heart to all of your families going into this 2023. Uncertain times, but also feeling confident about good things changing. I get asked a lot about, like, what it's like to visit there. Well, guess what, guys? This is something that Father Flanagan never steered away from, was there's no such thing as gates or a way to block people off or fences. I call him my homeboy because, like, I feel like I know him because he was a homeboy. Like, he was like the dude. Like, the guy had, if there was a, like, if you had a phone back, you know, in the 30s and 40s, and there was like the iPhone 10 or the 11, the 14, Father Flanagan had it. This guy was like so up on the times. He had his own radio show. He had his own podcast. The guy was so innovative. That's why he made so much difference in so many lives. Guys, here's a true story. Back in World War II, so many of our young grandparents, great-grandparents that you know, who were drafted, your grandparents' friends, were drafted to World War II, came from Boys Town. Those boys did not have a parent or guardian. So guess what? On their draft card, they put Father Flanagan, which made the President of the United States award him the Father of War. He was the father to so many young soldiers who died and many that came back. But he had so many sons that were part of the wars And they continue to do that. All right, so what is it like? It's beautiful, guys. The lives that are changing, not only like emotionally, mentally, but they're also doing things medically that are changing absolutely, like frontal lobe knowledge, as we know, mental health, right? You know, we take medications and things like that to make sure that we stay, you know, normalized, our brain, bop, bop, bop. They're doing stuff that's understanding what's happening inside the brain that's never happened before. So there's massive things that are going on aside just from, like, you know, housing kids, which I think maybe some people might think. And many of these kids are going on to great careers. Great, you know, in the workforce. They're giving these kids opportunities that had never happened before. So that's what it's like to visit. It's inspiring. It's emotional journey. It is it is work that is continuous and will never stop, because as long as we keep having people in this beautiful world of ours, as long as we protect it, we also have to protect those children that are coming through. So that's what it's like to visit Boys Town. Number three, I get asked what it was like. You know, fans are always asking me how the responsibility of being a parent to three kids has changed me as a person. I had a friend once tell me, an actor friend said, "Hey, Jacob, you know, you don't need kids. You need to focus on acting." And maybe that was wise words. It could have very been wise words at that time. But at the same time, I knew that I could be better. I could be better than what I was given. I knew there was opportunities for a young child who didn't have a chance in hell. And I never wanted that for my kids, or the idea of that. I remember, and I won't go into specifics, but I remember when I was on All My Children, I was going through a very difficult time. And I had been called into the executive producer's office, and she said, "What's going on with you? What's going on with you, Jacob?" And I broke down in tears. And I said, "Well, I don't want to be my father's son. I don't want to be putting on my children what the pressure that was put upon me." And I was scared that I was going to relive that over again. So much so that it destroyed me. I was living with this pain every single day. So I understand that. And once I finally realized it, I had to ask somebody, I had to talk to somebody about it. I had to go to some counseling, because I was not equipped at that time to be able to deal with those emotions. But through help and through talking to somebody, I was able to find that path. It's okay to reach out and find that. And that's what I found. And that's why I'm passionate about not only myself, but my children. That's why we talk about the things we talk about. And that's what it's like, how it has changed me, is now that I'm more aware of my children's feelings. I mean, I'm so much closer to my daughter, my daughters, my son. We talk about everything now, like things I would never imagine talking about with my parents. I know we're in a different time. There's this whole woke movement and people being more aware. But again, like, until you're a parent, you can be as woke as you want to. But until you're a parent, until something actually provides itself in your face, you go, oh, how do I respond to that? How do I embrace that? But you'll find the way. It's okay. It's part of our lives now. Fans always ask how the responsibility of being a parent also, and TV fans ask why, no, sorry, let me go back. You know, fans, they ask me why I left daytime television. And I'm sure a lot of you might have some comments about that. So if you have any questions about that, you might go ahead and throw that in or comments. I loved my time on daytime television. In fact, it has been the biggest blessing of my entire life, my career. I started when I was 17 years old. I mean, 17 years old. I wasn't even barely graduated high school, and I was getting ready to go to college. That's pretty incredible. It's incredible to have a career in front of you straight out of high school. Why did I leave after 20 years? Well, I wanted to find more artistic. I knew I was an artistic person. I'd sang my entire life. I'd played guitar, played harmonica. But I knew that I wanted something more. And I knew that that wasn't everything. Now, I love all of you who have followed me through that time, through my career. I mean, I was doing a little cameo today for somebody. And, you know, it's amazing to me that somebody, you know, somebody still cares about the work that I did on these shows. And the only way I guess I can explain it is if you had been working the same job your entire life, say it's Taco Bell. I don't know what it is, but say it's Taco Bell. And you did that every day from the age of 17 to age of 35. Would you get tired of Taco Bell? Maybe. Maybe not. I got tired of Taco Bell. I felt like I'd never had the opportunity to really give myself an artistic expression. I was able to do great things. I created great paths. In the meantime, did Broadway, Beauty and the Beast, Lumiere, 6-month run. In the great wide way. Wonderful. I won an Emmy. I was nominated many, many times. Now, it wasn't about was it enough? It was more about what else can I do? So I decided on my own respective ideas to walk away. No longer seeking employment on soap operas. That's fine, right? That's not a bad thing. It's just, that's what I chose. I wanted to write. I wanted to talk to you. I wanted to make movies, which I love. My passion is watching how filmmakers make movies. My good friend Jason Cook just sent me this book, Scorsese on Scorsese. And it's the old school version because it's a hardback. You kiddos out there, I don't know if you know all about that stuff. But I enjoy directing. I enjoy writing. I enjoy creating. And that's where I saw my life going. A few questions came in. Watching on Bold and Beautiful for the first time of the year, Michelle Benson Northern, Roxanne Donnell, what are you describing right now? Is it exactly how I envisioned your future to be? I'm very proud of you. Oh, Roxanne, you are a doll. Thank you so much, Roxanne. Maybe you did. All right, so guys, let me go into a few more questions before we, you know, there's lots of time here. We're going to go probably for about an hour, so there's plenty of questions, and here we are. Number six, a fan from Italy asked if there has been a favorite podcast guest over the years since we began. Wow, that is a very, very difficult question to answer. There's so many great podcast guests that I've had on, some of which, did you see Lydia last week? Give me a thumbs up if you did or not. Amazing guest. Of course, Ron Moss, if you're an Italian fan. Of course, Ron Moss, you know, a great Italian actor. Of course, you know, Bold and the Beautiful. But of course, Frank Stallone has been on here. You know, so many great Eva LaRue, Cameron Matheson. This has been a great journey to have this opportunity to be able to bring people to all of us. From All My Children to Bold and Beautiful, and also everything else in between. Many, many music guests too. Baseball. I've had great baseball opportunities. People, guests that have come on the show that have hung out. I just got a question from Susan Lanty. She goes, "Do you still keep in touch with AMC cast members?" That's a great question, Susan. Thank you for asking that. Yes, I actually just had a wonderful conversation with my good friend Alicia Minshew, Kendall, on All My Children just a couple days ago. And she was just checking in on me, and we were talking about some potential opportunities that might arise here in the near future. Thank you for that question, Susan. Now, I always ask two questions to my guests, and I often get asked if I have taken the ride in the Jacob Young time machine, and what would I say to my teenage self? Now, there's a reason why I asked that question. I've talked about it a bit on the podcast, and my childhood was not the easiest, and nor will it be by far the worst childhood that anybody has experienced. I ask that question because if there was an opportunity to give myself advice, and I know I've heard great answers and people have talked about it on the show and they said, this is what I would tell myself. And most of those things are exactly what I would probably say. I would probably tell myself, don't take everything with a grain of salt. Number one. I don't know if I would tell myself to not get so emotionally tied up with things, because I think that's really what led to who I am today. So my emotions, I wouldn't change, even as, you know, heart attacky as they were when I was a kid with anxiety and riddled. But I would say, go easy, son. Go easy on yourself. You don't have to try so hard. You don't have to be everything that everybody thinks that you need to be. You can just exist, and that's enough. I think I buried myself as a child with trying too hard. Now, I'm not trying to say that don't go after the goals, don't get out after those things, but don't allow yourself to be buried with what everybody expects from you, or what you think that they need. Think for yourself and live in that moment That is probably the most important thing. So I wish I could go back and say, just go easy. Don't be so hard on yourself. Now, I always talk again about Boys Town. I know a boy once said to Father Flanagan, you know, he's not heavy. He's my brother. And I often get asked, who carried me after my life, in my life, and through that time? Well, that's always such a confusing question because nobody's expecting that in the podcast. And I love that question. But nobody, you know, some people have said, hey, well, who carries you? And I'll just throw, you know, somebody out. But it really is an army. I mean, right now, my wife carries me every single day. Kristen Young, Kristen Nicole Young carries me every single day. And it's not because I need to be carried. It's because she knows what I need and how I need to help fulfill her life too. So we carry each other, right? But you go back in time and you go, well, who carried me? Well, in the worst of times, my sisters, Tiffany Young, my sister Charity, my brother Michael. So many people have gotten me through those times, and it's okay to, I think probably the most important thing really is to allow yourself, the reason why this question is so important is to allow yourself to say, yep, yeah, it's okay to recognize the fact that somebody has given you the opportunity to forgive yourself, to make yourself better, to lift your spirits, to make your step easier, to take chances in life, to believe in yourself. All of those people, all of them. And I have some guests that say, well, nobody carried me. And I go, well, that's maybe they're not looking deep enough, or maybe that's a very sad existence, unfortunately. But I guarantee, every time, it's funny, because every time somebody has said that on my podcast, they said, later, they text me and they go. And I dare you to go back and listen to some of them, the episodes. And they say, well, you know what? Actually, it was my sister, or it was my brother, or it was my mom. It just takes a second. Who carried you? Ask yourself that now. Hey, throw it in the comments. I'd like to read them out loud, actually. If you'd like to throw some in here while we're working on the, you know, going through some of these questions, I'd love to read out who's carried you. I see that there's 18 people here. Give me a couple. Love to see. Does anyone out there have some New Year's resolutions that they want to talk about? And I got a question from a fan in Ohio asking what my New Year's resolution was. I just got from Tavia that her mom was the person that carried her. Susan Lanty just said, my Aunt Linda is somebody that carried me. Beautiful. Thank you guys for sharing. So let's talk about New Year's resolutions. I've got some. I know that like the holiday poundages, they get on us. We've eaten a little too much yummy food over Thanksgiving, Christmas, you know, going into New Year. You know, do you believe in resolutions? Do you not believe in resolutions? If you do have resolutions, do they stick? Somebody asked me that the other day, and I said, well, they stick around a couple weeks. Sometimes. Nathan Bremer, my man, he's here. What's up, my brother? Good to see you. Tammy Lee says that she would like to carry on her parents' legacy. That's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. I have to say, my New Year's resolution is obviously like what a lot of people say, oh, I gotta lose a few pounds, you know, take a few inches off my waist. Yeah, well, guess what? Yeah, I'm doing that. I'm doing it like I do every year, right? But, you know, we also have to think about, like, what are our New Year's resolutions, like, mentally? Like, what are the things we want to change, really change? I mean, you could say I physically want to change, but I don't think if we can physically change if we don't make that mental choice. Does anybody out there have any ideas or some suggestions to throw us to some of the people? Because we haven't got a pretty good audience right now about some of your New Year's resolutions. Love to discuss some of those as we're hanging out together. And I, guys, again, I appreciate the time. This has been such a beautiful year. 2 years of real conversations. 2 years. And I couldn't have done it without your support, your love. You know, the guests have been fantastic. Again, I thank everybody. I choose them. I handpick them. I handpick them for reasons. It's not about, oh, you know, is it a celebrity or is it this or that? It's about what maybe the difference that they might be able to bring to somebody. And by listening and tuning in, what can they offer? And hopefully they open up. I always say that too. They always go, what is your podcast about? I go, well, it's about talking about life and the hurdles that we all have to go over. We all have to go over a hurdle once in our lives, if not every single day. What is that hurdle? How do we get over it? And how did you get over to get where you are? I think that's the most interesting thing. And that's what Real Conversations is about. April, I love April. April Lambert, mine is to focus more on using my voice and learning to ask for help so I'm more available for my kids mentally and myself. So much help around, but hard to ask for. Wow. That is beautiful, April. You know, that's a lot, you know, parents. I know as a parent myself, sometimes I go, I don't know how to ask for enough help. You know, and that is a very tough thing to go for. But guys, the fact that you're saying that right now, April, out loud, the fact you're saying that right now is already changing what's going to happen. Thank you for that. Tavia says, to be consistent in my workouts, not to nag my son, to worry less, and trust in God that everything will work out the way that it's supposed to be. That's beautiful. And it's true. No matter what your God is or who your G-O-D is, trust. Stay on that tune. Move it to 2023. Janine, stand up for myself instead of letting people walk on me. Let's talk about that for a second. I know I'm guilty of that. So many times I'm loyal to a T. I let my heart lead, and I allow people to take advantage of that. Now, that's not such a bad thing, but when it becomes a toxic thing, that's when it becomes something that you have to make sure you stand up for yourself. And not let that happen. And you can address it. You can address it in the ways that are helpful to your situation, which we don't know. But be your true best and stand up for that. Stand up for yourself. Don't let people walk over you. And we have to be careful too. Like, you know, sometimes I'm guilty of maybe being that person of walking over people. So being aware. Tammy Lee, she says, burying my parents was the worst thing that I ever had to do. And that's, wow. Tammy, first of all, thank you for sharing. And I could only imagine. I've lost all my grandparents. Thank God my parents are alive. I did lose my stepmother to suicide. And burying her was probably the most, absolutely the hardest thing that I'd ever had to go through in my life. Stay strong. And you know, time keeps moving forward, and lean on your friends, lean on everybody else that's there for you. Barbara, are you going back to Bold and Beautiful? Barbara, I never say never. I can't say no, can't say yes. But right now, I've got some big, big things that are happening. I wish I could tell you all about them, but stay tuned, because there are some things that are going to be coming out in probably the trade soon. And when I say trades, not the regs, the trades, the industry trades. And keep your eyes and ears peeled, because I'm very, very proud of what is happening right now. Nathan says, risk making the wrong decision against the absence of decision. Risk making the wrong decision against the absence of a decision. Wow. Brother, maybe you should explain a little bit more. You're going deep on me. Roxanne, to be better today than I was yesterday as a step parent, to not take things so personal. Great. Wonderful. You know, look, I think that's probably one of the things that we all do the worst, and I know I do, is take things personal. I hear something and I go, I react, and that sucks, because what happens is everybody else gets the brunt of that portion. Let's just talk a little bit more, because I got some things I wanted to put out here. You know, 2023 is going to be another exciting year on Real Conversations. We got so much more, a lot of guests that are coming on. We have some really cool stars lined up for this coming year. We're also going to be celebrating our 100th podcast next month. My goal with Real Conversations has always been to help people struggling with mental health. And I know it feels like it's something that might be overdone, but it's not something that's talked about enough. Challenges, and to take away the embarrassment some people feel about mental health. We all have struggles from time to time. When it gets too or so serious that professionals, you know, they need to come in and they need to help. And, you know, again, the Boys Town Hotline, they're there. Adults and kids, it doesn't matter. They're there. They're saving lives. And in one split second, suicide, like my mother, ends a personal life and destroys everyone who loved them. Taking a pause and calling or texting the hotline can give a teen and or adult a chance to reset the button. I have a challenge for anyone who maybe is stretched thin financially and can't contribute money to Boys Town. Consider this. Consider giving some time in 2023. Your time. Loneliness is one of the most common causes of depression. Make a phone call. Maybe to one of your older relatives, your mom, your dad, your aunts, your uncles. Ask them how they're doing. Just take a few minutes. That's it. Talk to them. It might be the only conversation that they've had in that day. The gift of your time would be just as important as donating money to Boys Town. or any of your other favorite charities for that matter. Think about that. Guys, I want to say, again, so many thank yous. I know maybe this is a little bit of a heavy conversation, but sometimes it's a conversation we need to talk about. But I want to say, again, that you're not alone. We're not alone. Your time here, whether you know it or not, or your comment that you met on this reader, you left on this reader board, is changing lives. Guys, I want you to have a very, very happy new year. If you have a resolution, take it, embrace it, change it, make it happen. Stay with it. Hug somebody. Give them some love. Maybe somebody you think might need it. Your inner intuition tells you when it's right. Trust. I want to say thank you so much. And again, keep tuning into Real Conversations. We have multiple, many great guests that are coming into this this new year. And stay tuned because some of them you might actually have enjoyed on TV or sports. But there's a great lineup happening. Again, so that's about all the time we have for this week. But the Boys Town toll-free national hotline, of course, is 1-800-448-3000. 1-800-448-3000. It's a 24/7 crisis resource. It's a referral number for kids and adults. They're always there to help. If you're having suicidal thoughts, risking any type of self-harm, parenting problems, physical, sexual, emotional abuse, peer pressure, anger, chemical dependency, if you are suffering with any of these issues, just need somebody, or you just need somebody to talk to. They're there for you 24/7. Just call the Boys Town National Hotline, 1-800-448-3000. You don't feel like talking? You can text VOICE to 20121. 20121. They're going to get back to you right away. You don't even need to get on the phone. You could just text them. That's pretty cool. Boys Town. Saving children, healing families. Guys, until next time and next year, love yourselves and love each other.